Pick it up. Everybody get fat on Cream.
Two things to say about Meatloaf. If he'd blown his nose on anything and left it anywhere near me, I could have sold it for at least a grand. Only other explanation is that he had an epileptic seal up his arse.
Hello, this is Bruno Brooks.
Watch out for a special contribution, by the way, tonight from Bruno.
I think within reason, a limited amount of smack is not something I get hysterical about.
Phone-in subject this week with Peter Hamill. Is science out of control? Does the pursuit of knowledge go too far? Is it progress, or do we take ourselves closer to moral and physical destruction with each step? Top physicist Stephen Hawking recently said we'd be better off now if the 20th century's leading scientists had been born as flies. Do you agree? Make your contribution tonight. Marge Proops did.
I know.
Peter Bainham's in tonight. He'll let you know if there are any coffee alerts across the country this evening. What's the news so far, Peter?
Not very good, Chris. I thought I had a coffee alert in Leamington, but it turned out to be just an old egg in a tunnel.
If you're worried about coffee alerts tonight, then stay tuned. Peter will have more news later. And in the news tonight, a BBC recruitment officer explains the shoddy standards of presentation on Radio 4's The Today programme.
If you want a total professional who's going to do it, it's about £20,000. But then again, if you approach some crack addict on the street, you can get someone for £500.
New game tonight, the Biro Quiz. It's a new way of making children swear. All you have to do is place a biro between your teeth, put your tongue underneath it, and answer three simple questions. We'll see if we can get someone up after Scarface.
And I can't sleep. I'm tossing and turning. I still got the candles. One time for your motherfucking mind.
Okay, to play this game, three simple questions with a biro across your teeth with a tongue underneath it. Getting somebody up now. If you're young enough, by the way, you have to be under 10, and your parents can help. It's called Nathan. Yeah, let me know when you got him. Nathan.
Yeah?
Hello.
Hello.
Have you got the biro across your teeth, so you put it across your mouth, between your teeth, and put the tongue underneath? Okay. I'm just going to ask you three simple questions, right?
Yeah.
First of all, if you decided to walk across a ravine on a tightrope, okay, somebody might say that was very blank, and the blank rhymes with frisky. What is it?
Whiskey.
That's the kind of stuff, a liquid that makes you go staggering around. But not to worry. Question two. Something a man puts on a lady's finger at a wedding.
A ring.
No, that's a little thing that you find stuck on the side of a bird. And number three, if you get this one right, you can still get the prize, okay? This is a place where a load of taxis queue up. What is it?
I'll try and run that. It's a taxi.
Rank.
Rank.
Nathan, I'm sorry, I'm going to give you one more chance on this, but I'm going to take a deep breath and just tell me what it is where you find a line of taxis.
A rank.
I'm sorry, but did your mother tell you to say that?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I think you can say to your mother, don't ever tell me to say anything so disgusting again.
You say anything so disgusting again. Not again.
Okay, just say me one more time and then you can go.
Rank.
All right, Nathan.
But thank you.
You've won.
Hello.
Yeah, can I just tell him he's won? He won a prize.
Oh, has he won a prize?
Yes, he has.
Oh, right.
Do you want to win a bonus prize yourself?
Well, what do I need to do?
Okay, get the pen.
I've got the pen.
Right. Put it between, so it's across your mouth, between your teeth.
Yeah.
The pen's in place.
Yeah.
And let me ask you, what do you call a large queue of taxis in an orderly fashion waiting for passengers?
A lank.
Pardon me?
A lank.
What's up? So if you know somebody whose kid you'd like to hear swearing, then get in touch with us. 071-7655-444. Get down, get down. This sounded great in the soundtrack of Pulp Fiction. Jungle Boogie from Kool & the Gang.
This is Alice Cooper. Isn't Sybil Roscoe a twin?
There's one thing I want to say about the Comedy Awards, but I'll leave it till later, I think. Kids may have gone to bed. This is you?
Yes.
You're talking about you?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were talking about somebody else. That's why I was laughing. Peter Bain was just telling me about a burglary. I was laughing. Now it's apparently his own. I thought it was a friend's.
Ridiculous, isn't it? Twice this year.
Did they clean you out?
Well, they got the stereo. They've got a couple of things.
I know. I was done earlier this year. Have you got an alarm fitted?
Well, I got a smoke alarm, but it's not really the same, is it?
Not exactly, no. Is it, no? Unless the voters are going to break in and start having a fag. Or a cigar.
What, like burning toast?
What's to yeah, yes. How likely is that?
Well, it's not, I know.
But you did it. You must have calculated.
What?
Well, I mean, you can. What I'm saying is you can do better than that, can't you? You can do better than a smoke alarm.
Well, you can do things, but as the cop said, once they, if they want to get in, they'll get in. You can't
stop
them.
But seriously, you can do better than having a smoke alarm. Whatever the cop says.
What, like then?
Well, if you had somebody breaking into your house and they got through the window and down from the ceiling came a tray full of putty, slammed into their face, right, hardened, pulled away again, they could do nothing about it, you'd know exactly what they looked like. You could go around the next day, you could either push the mould into people's faces and go, that one fits, that one doesn't, or you could actually make a plaster cast and then drive it around the neighbourhood in a little bike. Somebody would go, oh, I saw that. I saw that guy.
Or you could have a dead cop in a chair just sitting in the lounge.
Freak.
Burglar gets in. I mean, they're not going to touch anything, are they?
Or actually, you could have cop droppings all over the place. They go, oh, there's a cop around here.
A wall projector that is activated by burgling that just starts firing hardcore porn at the wall. So the guy's just staring there, slack-jawed, until the cops arrive.
He was still there in the morning, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
In fact, they wouldn't be able to pull him away.
No.
In fact, they'd probably stand there. Yeah. But also, actually, you could, instead, if you didn't like pornographs flying around your room, you could have disaster footage. Big-time disaster footage. You know, they tell us splatter thing. There's real events of disasters. Like, I know, this stuff that's going around at the moment. You seen this under-the-counter stuff, video shops?
What?
Grace Kelly footage.
No.
That would be brilliant.
What is it?
Nobody could pull themselves away from that. It's like, you know, you get Clockwork Orange under the counter, that kind of thing. You can get this, you can say, can I have the Grace Kelly footage? Don't know what you mean. They charge you about a tenner for it.
Well, it's not the...
Yeah, it's her plunging over the cliff. It's the actual footage of Grace Kelly. Yes, it is. And furthermore, it's, like, brilliantly shot. It's superb. It's kind of like colour film.
Is it sort of amateur footage, like the JFK?
No, amateur footage, it's not. It was shot by Cary Grant.
No.
Yeah, and it was in his vault. He didn't reveal it till, you know, after his death. Great footage. The car plunges over the cliff. The camera follows it all the way. The quality of the film's really good as well. It looks like 35mm, although it can only have been 16. And the only gripe I have with it is that Cary Grant was laughing so much, the camera's got a bit of a shake on it.
I mean, it sounds fantastic. It really does.
Yeah,
but people can't get hold of that kind of stuff.
No, you can. You can go to a video shop and you can just say, you know, under the counter.
No, it's not. It's just impractical. I mean... How about if you had pictures, big pictures of yourself, on the walls of the lounge, just holding and enjoying your possessions, looking really delighted with them? I mean, you're going to induce such guilt in the burglar, he won't take anything, will he?
In tears, he'll be out.
Yeah. Punch himself in the face or something.
That's nice.
Mm?
Or a more violent solution, this. A ceiling, right?
Yeah.
Use a false ceiling. Make use of your horrible false ceiling. All you do is fill it full of trapdoors, then you keep about 12 ostriches up there. And when the guy breaks in, it activates the trapdoors. Down they plunge into the room full of flailing ostriches. You try and burgle your way through that.
No chance. How about you try and steal stuff that's running away from you?
What?
Well, little mechanical feet that you attach to the bottom of all your possessions. The burglar comes in, touches your stereo, it legs it across the room.
And you wake up and say, what's that noise? Come down, flick on the light, and you see a guy belting around chasing after your hi-fi. Yeah. Oh, another video product. Okay, guy breaks in. Immediately the walls are covered with images of law keepers. People keeping the law. Men keeping the law with huge erections. Women keeping the law with great big dripping gussets.
Pictures of people committing crimes with obvious soft-ons.
Exactly.
Yeah, and women, like, with dried-up crackly knicker bacon.
Dried-up crackly knicker bacon?
Yeah.
Wow. Up next, Peter Hamill talks science. Has it gone too far? Would we be better off if the 20th century's leading scientists have been born as flies? Chuck your worms into the can.
I'll need that piece of twig.
And this is Ash. Petrol is called. Okay, I hope to be able to jam in before Newspeak. How this show has been spreading the word and has linked arms with the Bruno Brooks 4 a.m. Madhouse. Call 1FM. Call 1FM. The issue, science. Has it gone too far? Would it be better, as Stephen Hawking said, if many of this century's leading scientists had been born as flies? What do you think, Atul?
Well, I do think that the problem with science is that we're viewing everything in small, isolated chunks.
What we should try and do is see everything at once.
Well, to see the interconnections and to see the wholeness.
Now, we can do that occasionally on the television, but not much more. Seeing the wholeness.
Sometimes, yes.
Have you ever seen the wholeness yourself on television?
I would say that, by and large, most of the sort of programs that I've seen on television tend to look just at an isolated chunk.
But you'd like to see more and more people becoming fans of wholeness.
I would like to see more people growing into wholeness.
Right, a kind of weird image that, but I think we can stick with it. A lot of people, like a sort of a broad base of the population, twisting into the root of this one silver-haired figure.
There is no figure.
Are you prepared to accept that some of our listeners would see wholeness as a silver-haired man? Perhaps in a grey suit?
Well, if that's what they want to believe, then they're free to do so. That's not the way I see the world.
All right, what do you see?
My job is in the field of health. I work as a naturopath.
Right.
I train as a pharmacist, so I've had a very scientific training.
Yep.
So, for example, if we look at the example of asthma, it shows the futility of science, in a sense, because, we all now know that air pollution is partially responsible for asthma. So, say somebody gets asthma. So what do they do? They hop in their car, drive to their doctors, get a prescription, drive to the chemist, get an inhaler, and drive home again.
You're talking cars.
We're talking cars.
And so that's feeding the loop of the problem.
That's right. I mean, pollution's caused the problem in the first place.
And yet people are pumping more out gas in order to get to the prescription man.
That's right.
And however much the stuff in their mouth is like breathing and so with a squeezy thing, it's going to be necessarily involved with the transport pushing more into the atmosphere as a net result.
That's right. And the doctor's prescription is called science.
Exactly. And even that, the manufacturer of the science, a plastic inhaler tube, which you put in your mouth, squeeze with a little metal thing and a pin, an aerosol type of convenience packaging, that comes out as a sort of plastic, which is a petrochemical, which is more dust and general smoke going into the atmosphere and manufacturing thereof of it.
Yes, yes. And you know, the whole system's involved in terms of transporting the manufactured goods from the factory to the wholesalers, to the retail.
What we're based with here is a crazy system involving the people that, such as they asthmatic be, with the cars driving off in multifarious directions, doctors and notwithstanding who've driven to work themselves, must without bicycles, not necessarily on board. And then there's a kind of several-stage journey process, not also to forget that the factories also have transportation problems between the pair of them, roadily.
Yeah.
And in the manufacturing initially thereof, tubes and plastic and so on, not to mention clothes that people are wearing, the whole thing involves feedback looping on the circuit.
That's right.
So,
if you looked at wholeness there...
At this point, you would look to wholeness and say, give me an S, please, Bob, for solution.
Yes.
Thanks for your call, Atul.
Okay.
Nice talking to you.
Right.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Later, by the way, Marge Proops throws her fat into the pan. So this is Oasis, not ripping off Status Quo or Mark Bolan, but this time Neil Innes.
I'm free to be an idiot. Whatever I choose, and I'll take the blues if I want.
In about 20 minutes. Now, we've been spreading the word on this show because a surfeit of gags flows out of our fingertips, and we thought, hey, okay, let's share it around a bit. And let's give some to Bruno. So, because we knew that Bruno in the middle of the night does a lot of crazy stuff, including romping through the day's birthdays. Such things as this, if you haven't heard it.
Okay, 6:10. Happy birthday if it's your birthday today. Monica Salas is 22. Happy birthday to Def Leppard's Rick Savage. He's 34 today.
Watch out for the gags.
Johnny Versace, 48.
Here he comes.
With about $48 billion in the bank.
See? So that's the kind of thing that Bruno does anyway. And we thought, okay, we'll add to the fuel there. So what do we got here? Well, there's... we checked out the patron saints who were around last week, and one of them was Saint Sylvanus, the patron saint of shiny bottoms.
Also Saint Sylvanus Day today. Yep, patron saints of shiny bottoms.
And there's more after the news.
That's it, the next update, 10:30.
Yes. Oh, God.
Okay, you may think differently, but actually doing that Bruno stuff made me feel rather warm. Because we thought, this will be funny, and I actually felt rather... I got a really sad thrill that it had actually gone out on the radio. I did, it's true. There's a couple more that worked and one that didn't. I'll tell you about them all. I thought I'd tell you about what happened at the Comedy Awards as well afterwards. I got time. Yeah, probably. It was the worst scene in the male bogs, the men's lose. Mel Smith lying on the floor, everybody's sort of pissing him up and down the room. Martin Clunes, Jack D, Griffreys Jones, Lily Savage, Zorro. John Prescott was doing it too. Just hosing him up and down like he was a great big kind of puck. Sad, depraved game. Patrick Moore's there too.
Down the street I heard such a soft tune. Coming from the place they call the study.
And Clive Anderson won. It's a big power pisser. You know what they say about men with no necks? Power piss. That's Little Feat. And this surfeit of gag generosity extended itself twice more to the Bruno Brooks Early Show. Somebody had built a statue of a cow in Wales out of cow dung. So we reckon, ah, yes, Bruno will find a story in the paper. And then he could say, as a tagline, he could say, guess she'd take pretty well to a pat on the back. And,
news today, farmer's daughter, Sally Matthews, 29, is selling full-size cow sculptures made of dung for £2,000 in Cardiff. Now that deserves a pat on the back.
Yay! It did make me feel warm. And the final one, which is my favourite, was about the birth, or was it the death in 1901 of the playwright Rostand. And, we said, okay, Rostand died, so, Bruno will say, yeah, he's the one who wrote the play about the bloke with a big nose, Pinocchio de Bergerac.
And playwright Rostand, who wrote the play about the bloke with a big nose, Pinocchio de Bergerac.
Excellent. And there was one more, which I so wanted him to say, and for some reason he didn't. I mean, basically, I was waking up in the middle of the night, and I was putting on a stupid voice and phoning up the producer of Bruno's show and saying, hey, mate, I've just thought of a couple of gags. Anything more sad? Then I was rubbing my hands with glee as I came out on the radio. There was one more that I desperately wanted him to say, and he ended up not doing it. I've no idea why. It was Peter Willey's birthday, the English batsman, and I said, oh, yeah, Bruno could hark back to the time that Brian Johnson was doing a commentary on that versus the West Indies, and he said, the bowler's holding the batsman's willy, and his balls are flying around his head and his white stuff all over his face. And for some reason, he didn't say it. I thought Bruno would go, oh, yeah, there must have been something to do with balls flying around his head, that's bounce. There's white stuff over his face, sun cream.
Sad.
Time and money for girls covered with honey. Goliath's fire to be as cunning. Fill it a rock and a roll, a B-size D-cup. Order the quarter deluxe.
what a chop. Science like Galileo dropped the orange.
That's the Beastie Boys from Paul's Boutique, which has just been re-released. It doesn't have any track listing, so I can't tell you what the name of that track is, although I call it Science, if I were being me. That got a massive amount of critical acclaim and didn't sell very much, which is why they've re-released it again. And it's got lots of jolly samples in it, like that one from the Beatles, or loads, there's a whole massive nicking from Sly Stone. But it does kind of hold together, it's a Dust Brothers thing, and that's it. Christmas stocking filler, I'd say. What's this?
Call 1FM. Call 1FM. Peter Hamill, has science gone too far? Marge Proops, how's it feeling?
When you say it, what do you mean?
I just meant, how are you?
How am I feeling?
Yes.
I'm feeling very good.
Excellent. Now,
I'm
what's
feeling great, actually.
Perhaps great enough to give us your opinion, if you would, on whether science has gone too far.
Well, it hasn't gone too far for me, personally, and for people that I'm involved with and an area I'm involved in, and that is arthritis and orthopaedic surgery.
Is it everybody's arthritis?
Pardon?
In that group?
Pardon, sorry.
It's yours.
It's mine and everybody else's.
It's shared.
Shared, indeed, yeah. Because I've got tin hips.
We're talking about science going too far. You mentioned tin hips. What about if it came to tin lips?
If there were continued developments in this particular field in which I am personally interested, then nothing can go too far.
So we're talking about a kind of scientific discovery which, if it made tin lips, could make them out of a floppy kind of tin which would actually be as supple as the flesh of the original lip.
That's right. Or rubber.
Tin for the hardness and rubber for the softness.
Mm.
It would be nice to think that one day one could come across someone with tin lips who could whistle a Christmas carol in the same way that somebody with a perfectly ordinary mouth could.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think it could go too far that you could end up with a sort of robotic kind of creature made of metallic linkages which had a humanoid shape but was some kind of crazy boatman with a barge full of bombs?
I'm sure, and it's possible, but maybe it's the price we have to pay. Mm.
Smile at the replacement hips and frown and indeed take out the rogue boatman.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody wrote to you, "Dear Marge, I rejoice in the tin hip, but I am plagued by the rogue boatman who yet approaches my abode with his barge of explosives." What would you say?
Well, I'd say ring 999, dear, quick.
You'd like the reply, "Dear Marge, RE the tin thing, thanks for your help."
Yes, indeed.
Thank you for your help.
Okay.
Great to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Keep busting.
Emma Freud, with a large two-dimensional head, basically a flat sheet of bone, turns to face a strong breeze and is blown frowning from the cliff.
Every million miles, let me take that first. Having fun, because we live in life at the top of our lungs. It was true.
Spearhead. Apparently one of the gigs of the year, and I missed it.
We never saw the movie right.
I'm worried for the health of Wheeler, the independent cartoonist. This is the guy who can only really draw a cartoon of John Major. Everybody else, if he's trying to do like a cartoon of Michael Portillo, he just gets a photograph and sticks it on a hastily drawn body. And his cartoons are the work of a depressed man. There was that thing about prisons not so long ago when a couple of people hang themselves in prison, and he did a cartoon where there were just two men hanging on nooses, and the caption was "Prison Works," and the men's heads were in the O's of the words. The O was the noose that was hanging the two dead men. And then yesterday, this, I mean, check this out, right? John Major stumbling through the snow. Can you wonder what it is? This was before the big vote. John Major there, he's grasping towards a stick that says "vote," and the caption is, "When a poor man came in sight, gathering winter fuel," brackets, plus 17.5% VAT. Where does he get it from? Seriously, there will be a news bulletin before too long which says, "Sad news from the newspaper world. Another attempted suicide from Colin Wheeler, the cartoon of The Independent. Though it's believed yesterday's cartoon of John Major trudging through the snow made him particularly unhappy. Wheeler is regularly found hanging from railings or face down in a sink shortly after completing his harrowing works."
I've got a letter. I reckon this one just about persuades me. It acknowledges that I don't normally deal with letters, but it says, "Dear Chris, I accidentally heard your programme last month and wondered if you could do me a favour. I know you don't usually do requests, but I still think your will could be bent by my story. I'm 42 years old and consider myself intelligent, educated, but unlucky. Last winter, I was working as a council street sweeper. It was my age, I suppose, but I had become resigned to the daily drudge of heaping slimy newspapers, dead pizza boxes and other yuck into my large plastic barrow. Occasionally, when my route crossed the park, I could linger for a few moments in the lovely green spaces and watch the men from the Parks and Recreation Department blowing leaves around with their special underarm machines. One day, as I emerged into the street, my attention was caught by a cold shower of mud thrown from a puddle by the wheel of a bus. My mouth opened to curse, but no shouts passed my teeth. Instead, they were stopped by an invisible plug made out of the fact that the bus driver was a woman, and what's more, she had the most beautiful face. Not in a classical way, Chris. It was somehow more arresting than that. One moment, perhaps prettily bovine, the next majestic like Angelica Houston. That night, I vowed to woo her. It wasn't going to be easy. I'm shy and useless at approaching people with words. I'm pretty useless all round, in fact. I only have one real tactic, and to be honest, it had never really worked before, even when I was younger. So why was I even thinking of using it now? Something in her noble face told me that it might just work this time. The next day, I was ready to act. First, I needed some leaves. An hour before I entered the park, I phoned the department and reported the leaf blowers for attacking a rose bush with their machine. It worked. By the time I got there, they had all been apprehended on a vegetable abuse, and I could have all the leaves I needed. Feverishly, I started laying them out in a huge ring on the ground by the bus stop. Using more leaves and some other detritus from my barrow, I created a large cross shape joined to the ring, thus forming the biological symbol for females. Seconds later, the bus appeared. People were already staring, so I felt confident their gaze would funnel her attention in my direction. It worked. She turned and looked. Immediately, I started jumping about on my barrow, pointing enthusiastically first at her, then at my giant woman sign. Then I held her eye and leapt into the ring. Here I threw my arms open into a gesture of welcome and stared straight into her eyes, jumping up and down on the spot and roaring the word yes over and over again. I'd always known this to be a risky tactic, but I felt it so much more keenly now that she was staring straight at me. It seemed to last forever. Then, ignoring the loud horns of the surrounding traffic, she suddenly opened the driver's door and stepped into the road. I advanced. We met. "I love things like that," she whispered. "Ah," I replied, "good." All the cars had stopped and switched off their engines. "That was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen," she rejoined. I couldn't believe my luck. "Excellent," I both thought and said. Everything seemed to go silent. I shut my eyes and knelt to kiss her hand. Then, somewhere I thought I heard a sparrow fly into a brick. Suddenly her fingers jerked from my lips. I looked up to see her catapulted into a weird backflip, her head transfixed by a spear of frozen liquid waste from an aeroplane toilet facility. She bounced off her own windscreen and lay quite dead on the road. To this day, Chris, I have been unable to erase the last awful sound she made as her body hit the ground. Imagine a man singing with a knot in his neck. But you could help me recall happier, carefree times by playing Jimmy Tarbuck's version of I Should Be So Lucky. Yours hopefully, Roger Species. Roger, it's a pleasure. I should be so lucky, 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 lucky. I should be so lucky in love. Oh, this could be the saddest day. Paul Garner got thrown out of a second car he tried to hijack. I don't know what his technique is. I think we'll save that for Boxing Day, the Boxing Day show. Middle of the day.
Exactly the same editorial policy.
So Paul's now dawdling around in the street outside a hotel, I gather. We'll be with him in about 15 seconds. Paul!
Chris!
You're outside a hotel.
I'm right outside now, mate.
Good. Why didn't they give us a drink?
Oh, some rubbish about it being too late and we weren't guests or something, wasn't it?
Okay, they've had it. We're going all the way today.
Let's get the bastard.
Okay, in the you go.
I'm going in.
Sounds like he's looking forward to it so far.
Oh my god, it's very, very posh in here indeed. I'm going through the revolving doors.
Crowded, is it?
Very.
Okay, you're boasting about the signal as soon as you can.
Oh, it's brilliant. Yeah, brilliant signal in here, mate.
And then just laugh. Do a really long laugh that lasts about 7 seconds.
It's a superb signal.
And then say, mind you, they all look like arses in here.
Oh, I'll tell you what, they all look like arses though in here, I'll tell you.
Okay, and now lie down.
Oh, no.
Yeah, lie down. Lie down on the floor. It's a marble floor, yeah?
No, it's actually better than that. It's carpeted.
Okay, nice.
Oh, God, here we go. It's going to be awful.
How many of them are there?
A couple of dozen. Oh, God.
Are they looking at you?
Yep.
And just go, oh, yes!
Oh, yes!
Anybody looking?
Yes.
Okay, now start. If they're looking at you, start rolling around the floor. Like a commando.
All right,
rolling over and over to your right. Anybody troubling you yet?
Somebody just stepped over me, isn't it? I can't do this. I've got to get out of here, mate.
Okay, say you're checking it for a friend with low feet.
Oh, no, I think somebody's clocked me.
Roll over to the desk. But as you go along, just go, ah!
yeah, okay.
One long note.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. Let me go, please, let me go.
No, stand up at the desk now and say, right, I'm just checking the floor for a friend of mine who's got low feet.
Oh, God.
It's a friend of mine with low feet.
Excuse me. Do you cater for people with low feet?
Low feet.
Low feet. The beds are quite low. The beds are what, sorry? The beds are quite low.
Right,
No, they've just got low feet, no wheelchairs.
Right, okay,
What can they do for someone with low feet?
Can you do anything special for somebody with low feet?
Wait, did you say low feet?
Sorry?
Did you say low feet or low feet?
No, not no feet, low feet.
Can they make sure they've got a cross between a bed and an orange?
Definitely a cross between a bed and an orange, though. That's what we need.
Can you put in a Z bed?
A Z bed.
So it folds out into a bed.
A Z bed is okay, so long as you've got a cross between a Z bed and a clock.
Yeah, the Z bed's fine, as long as the Z bed is crossed with a clock. the closest they've got is a spring-mounted one, because you do get springs in clocks, don't you?
Sure, yeah. They've got a cross between a Z bed and a clock.
So you have got one that's basically a cross between a Z bed and a clock.
You've got
them
a clock, but if it's
spring,
it's
possible. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that it?
Just stare.
A stare?
Yeah.
Well, say to him, my advice to you is strong deodorant and smoker's toothpaste.
No.
My advice to you is strong deodorant and smoker's toothpaste.
Yeah. Well, my advice is strong deodorant and smoker's toothpaste.
Is he still looking at you?
Yes.
Top it off with your forehead makes me sick, and then leave the room singing your forehead makes me sick.
Your forehead makes me sick.
Your forehead makes me sick.
Your forehead makes me sick. Forehead. Forehead makes me sick. Your forehead makes me... Oh, my God. That was the worst one ever.
Leg it, then.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Run!
Oh, my God.
How are you feeling?
Bloody awful. Where the hell did you get all that stuff from?
I don't know, I was making it up because I thought they'd arrest you for rolling around the floor.
I didn't even say thanks or goodbye, I just abused his head and left. I nearly got run over, oh my God.
Easy now, take it easy. You're getting danger money for this anyway.
How much?
Oh, I don't know, about a fiver.
Wonderful, I might even get to stay there for a night then.
Okay, Paul, see you later.
See you, mate.
Bye.
Some people try to pick up girls and get called out. Never happened to Pablo Picasso. You could walk down your street and girls could not resist the stare, and so Pablo Picasso was never called an asshole.
Am much you reckon he enjoyed that? Still got to do with the gun, by the way. There's a couple of convicts who support the idea of Paul going into somewhere with a gun. They wrote
well,
to us.
Well, the girls would turn the colour of the... Well, he was...
I'll play the whole of that probably on Christmas Day. Will be careful. Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers. Well, thanks to Paul. I mean, classic, you know, forget the Comedy Awards or anything like that. I mean, that is a lifetime's achievement in one go. Thanks, Rolly. Thanks to Rebecca for this week's nightmare. And thanks to Peter Bainham. And thanks to Bruno for being our Gagmeister General. Remember, St. Sylvanus, the patron saint of shiny bottoms.
Also, St. Sylvanus Day today. Yep, patron saint of shiny bottoms.
And the playwright Rostand, who died, he was the guy that wrote a play about the guy with the big nose, Pinocchio de Bergerac.
And playwright Rostand, who wrote the play about the bloke with the big nose, Pinocchio de Bergerac.
And why he never said the bowler's holding the batsman's willy, his balls are flying around his head and there's white stuff all over his face, I will never know.
Cooked and Bombed
presents the Chris Morris Music Shows.
Visit us online at
www.cookandbomb.co.uk
or
chilled.cream.org.